Thank you for joining us for this conversation on the Sword and the Trowel today. Today, Pastor Tomlin and I talk about the Southern Baptist Convention, which is coming up in the next week or so in Dallas, Texas. It's going to be a great time of fellowship. I'm looking forward to see some of you there. But today we're talking about some of the three big issues that we're going to be addressing at the convention, and that is abolishing the ERLC, the Mike Law Amendment, and then also financial transparency. I hope this is a helpful conversation for you. Take a listen. Welcome to The Sword and the Trowel. The Sword and the Trowel is a podcast of Founders Ministries, and Founders exists for the recovery of the gospel and the reformation of local churches. I'm Graham Gundin.
I'm Tom Askell.
Today's episode is brought to you by Squirrely Joe's Coffee and the Miller's Grove Soap Company. Today, Pastor Tom and I want to have a discussion about the Southern Baptist Convention, which is coming up in about a week or so in Dallas, Texas. And It's always an exciting time. Tom, what are you looking forward to?
Well, Founders is going to have a booth there, so I'm real excited about that. And we're going to be announcing some things about Founders Seminary that will be opening its doors August the 11th. And Vody Balcom will be there as well for that. So we're real excited about having Vody on the ground with us. He is the founding president of Founders Seminary. So people will want to come by the booth, look for the Founders booth. Usually we're tucked away in the corner somewhere in the back, but just come find us. And we want to tell you about the Institute of Public Theology and Founders Seminary. At the convention itself, it's a business meeting. People forget that. And there are some items of business that we need to deal with, some that we've been talking about here for a while, and especially over the last few years, is the law amendment that is doubling down on what the confession already says of the SBC, the Baptist Faith and Message, as well as changing our constitution to say only qualified men can be pastors of Southern Baptist churches. Abolishment of the ERLC, which I think is going to happen this year, and then calling for transparency. So those are three big things that I'm going into the convention knowing that these are going to be topics of conversation, and I hope they'll go well for the sake of the health of the SBC.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly everyone goes into the SBC with plans, and there's different motions put forward, and there's different resolutions put forward, but nothing can be completely scripted. So you never know exactly what's going to happen throughout those 2 days of the actual business meeting. So those are the three big ticket issues that everyone's really going to be paying attention to. But I'm sure there's going to be other things like resolutions that are going to come up that we're going to have to be paying attention to as well.
Yeah, that's right. And I have not kept up with the resolutions. I don't even know if they released them or not, but they've started doing that a couple of years ago, I think. I'm not sure it's a requirement.
And Andrew Walker is chairing the Resolutions Committee. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. So the Resolutions Committee got an upgrade.
Yeah. That's certainly true. And so I'm looking forward to that. But again, those three issues are the ones that we kind of want to talk about and address today. And just let you guys know what our thoughts are on those issues. And it's kind of easy to understand where we are and where we're coming from. But the financial transparency issue has been something in the convention for that Rhett Burns has been bringing up in the convention for a long time. I think for several years now, he's been bringing motions from the floor of the convention asking for 990 level audits of all of our entities at the Southern Baptist Convention. And those have all gone really well for him, right?
No, he's been given the runaround by the executive committee. And usually what happens, he makes a motion, it gets referred to the executive committee. The executive committee determines not to do anything about it. This year, Jeff Yorg has announced that they're going to come up with it's not a business plan, but a new element that supposedly is going to highlight or give more transparency. I've read it. I don't think it does that. I think it's worse than what we got.
Yeah, I think Rhett makes that argument that it's actually worse than what we currently have.
Yeah, so I hope that that'll be voted down and that Rhett will be given an opportunity to make yet another motion. And when that motion is made, that we will override the attempt of the committee to kick it to the executive committee. And we say, no, we want to deal with this on the floor. That can be done because it was done when Grant Gaines had the weeping woman by his side and made that atrocious motion that we would supposedly, in the name of helping sex abuse survivors, which it didn't help any of them, wind up getting the SBC millions of dollars in debt.
$15 million, right?
At least. It's probably more than that. By hiring an LGBTQ-affirming company to look into sexual abuse issues in the SBC and mm-hmm. then giving them kind of blanket immunity from any kind of consequences of their actions.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why many, including ourselves, are so adamant that we need this financial transparency within the SBC, because plays like that have led to horrible fiscal decisions on the part of the leadership of the convention. And man, all these things are connected, because I'm just thinking now, I mean, part of the reason why that motion from Grant Gaines passed, he certainly was playing on the emotions of the naturally sympathetic and gracious people of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody wants sex abuse in the convention. Everyone wants to root that out wherever it is. And so he makes this this emotional appeal, and part of that comes out of Russell Moore's comments from the ERLC and his slander and his lies towards the executive committee, towards Mike Stone, towards the SBC in general. Mm-hmm. And because his lies from his open letter on the way out of the ERLC were circulating, that gave fertile ground for Grant Gaines then to get to the mic with his weeping woman and make the motion that we give, you know, at least $15 million into the air.
Yeah, that's right. It makes me want to say, we got played, you know, and which is exactly what happened. It was tragic. A lot of people back then who thought that was the right move, we were going the right path, have been awakened to the reality that no, we really did get played, and we got played to the tune of millions of dollars. We didn't help anybody. Mm-hmm. The things that we said we were doing were little more than virtue signaling, and actually has damaged the SBC. And so if we don't have transparency coming forth, I'm convinced the cooperative program will die.
Yeah.
It'll die. I don't know how many pastors, churches that I've heard from over the, could just say a slice of any part of this last year, churches that have left. We've lost a ton of churches because of this.
A lot of our friends are no longer SBC churches.
Yeah. And I can't talk them into staying. I mean, I get it. That's a conscious decision. But other churches that have stayed in have quit giving to the cooperative program. They're giving around the cooperative program because of the ERLC, because of the lack of transparency. I've talked to trustees who said they don't know. They can't find out. They can't get the information to know how all the money is spent, where all the money comes from, in their entities, which they are supposed to be holding in trust for the convention.
Right. And that's what's the line is. You know, Rhett Burns gets up there. He makes his motion. We need 990 level transparency. We'll let the committee talk about that. Committee comes out and says, no, we have a trustee system, and the trustees keep the entities accountable, and it's not the job of the convention to keep the entities accountable. That's why we have the trustee system, and it works just fine, and these are faithful, godly pastors and church members, and so we're going to let them take care of it. And frankly, I'm all for the trustee system.
Yeah,
I think the trustee system is a good system, because the convention, all the messengers of the convention, cannot take out a microscope and look at every entity. However, the trustee system as it operates right now is broken.
Right.
It's not working. And part of that is, I mean, the trustee system, the trustees are to be trusted by the messengers of the convention.
Yeah.
And there's so little trust in any of the leadership of the entities of the convention. That's why the messengers are calling for, that's why they're hungry for this financial transparency.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think our trustees get the kind of training they need.
No.
I've talked to trustees who said that they were oriented by the very entity that they're supposed to be holding in trust for the churches. And so I'll just use one guy's example. He said, man, we were brought in, wined and dined, giving gifts, you know, And said every year we go to the trustee meeting, that's the exact same way we're treated. It's just like we're VIPs on campus, and everybody knows we're there and treats us really well. And he said, asked a couple of questions about, hey, you know, where's this in the budget and where's the money come from? He said, this is a quote, I don't know where the money's coming from, but I know the money's flowing. Now that's a trustee of one of our entities in the SBC.
I would feel so insulted if I were a trustee. You come and you're wined and you're dined and you're taken care of, and it's just like smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
Like, you're a bunch of idiots. We, as the leaders of this entity, are going to take care of things, and we'll give you what we think that you want so you don't keep asking questions.
Yeah.
It's just, man, we need transparency.
Well, I'll tell you a little story that I've never told publicly before, and I'll try to be appropriately guarded and not revealing too many details about it. But there was one entity leader who got so upset with something that one of the trustees of his entity did publicly, wrote something, that he actually said a mutual acquaintance, that's grounds for firing a trustee. Now, you know, if that doesn't tell you a little bit of the mentality of what's been going on in our SBC entities for now decades, then nothing will.
Are you a Christian struggling to find companies that align with your values and beliefs? Squirrely Joe's has you covered for all of your coffee needs. All of their coffee is hand-selected and roasted fresh every day by a family of fellow believers. Try them out and you'll savor exceptional coffee while knowing that your investment supports a company committed to following God's teachings and upholding truth and righteousness, ensuring your hard-earned money contributes to the growth of God's kingdom. Stop giving your hard-earned dollars to pagans who support evil. We have a fantastic offer for our listeners. The first bag of coffee is free. All you have to do is cover the shipping. Head over to squirrelyjoes.com/founders to claim your free bag of coffee today.
They said that ending Roe v. Wade would end abortion. Well, they were wrong. In the new book, Forsakers of the Fatherless, author Ben Zeisloft pulls back the curtain on the pro-life establishment, and he reveals how many of the very leaders trusted in that establishment to defend life are now standing in the way of true justice for the preborn. Even after Dobbs, abortion is rising across America, including in red states. Why? Because of the movement that was built to end abortion, it has now become the primary obstacle to preventing the abolition of abortion. With exclusive interviews and with devastating firsthand accounts, Zeisloff shows how fear, compromise, and self-preservation have turned the pro-life establishment into the greatest obstacle against eliminating abortion in our time. If you care about justice for the fatherless, this is the book that you cannot ignore. So order your copy today at press.founders.org. Our trustees need to be trained. You think about this too. So most of the trustees, you know, they come from average SBC churches. Well, many of those trustees, I would dare say probably a majority, they've never looked at multi-million dollar budgets, mm-hmm. and all of our entities are multi-million dollar entities. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of a steep learning curve in terms of what are we looking at here? How does this work? How should we be thinking about it? They need to be trained. Yeah. We need a training process for all of the trustees of all of our entities and agencies, other than the orientation they get by the entities and agencies themselves.
You know, it reminds me of, it's analogous to the administrative state in Washington, where we, the people of the United States, send our elected officials from our different states and regions and districts around the country. We send them to Washington to run the country, to govern. And they do very little governing because the people there who are part of the administrative state, well, they're there for decades.
That's right.
And they're the ones who really run the show. And they'll manipulate senators and congressmen and governors and whoever it is because they really actually hold all the power.
Yeah.
They know where all the bodies are buried. They control the flow of money. That's what it reminds me of. And there just needs to be a light shown on that. And I'm not, you know, I think a lot of these people are good people. I think a lot of them have kind of gotten caught up in and they've lost sight and lost focus of what they really need to be about. But obviously things are not going well in the convention.
Yeah,
that's right. There's so little trust in the convention. There are churches leaving in droves. There's division. There's dissension. Things have to change. And the messengers of the Southern Baptist Convention are the final earthly authority when it comes to what happens in the convention. And when the trustees and when the entity heads are not able to fix the problem, well, the messengers have to come in and take drastic measures. And asking for accountability and transparency really is not all that
drastic.
Not drastic,
no. And again, even you know, the new president, Jeff York, of the executive committee, even he has said, I acknowledge trust has been broken. Well, that's right. That's good. His concern is you don't want to just bring a sledgehammer and you don't want to let the mob, you know, kind of rule. And I get it. That's what you're talking about with the trustee system. But we're past that. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is, many of us have been calling for change, calling for accountability for multiple years, more than 10 years. And it's just fallen on deaf ears, and the entity heads have just patted the messengers on the head, and trustees have said, you know, we got this, we got this. And nothing has changed. It's even gotten worse. And now then we see the bleed from the money that churches have been giving for missions. You're not going to get by with just doing it the same old way. There has to be real accountability. I don't see a way forward apart from the convention demanding that our entities come clean with 990 level transparency. Mm-hmm. And if they're not willing to do that, I think we're just going to continue to see the same old bleed and it'll get faster.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you want more information on this call for financial transparency, we did do an episode with Rhett Burns. We got into some more of the detail. It was a great conversation. If you go back and look in our archives on YouTube or wherever you listen to your podcasts and find that episode, that'll be a good education for you going into that, especially
That's right.
on these issues.
That's correct.
The other issue, the other big important issue, which you spoke to last year, is the ERLC, which, I mean, as long as I've been in the SBC, has been just an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of anything that the ERLC has done ever that I know of that I'm excited about.
Yeah. Well, I can't say that because they have done some good things. You know, they've been a voice for biblical morality in the public square in years past. It's been so long ago, you know.
That I was probably a baby.
Yeah, you probably were, so I get that. Yeah, and even now, you know, the public relations tour that Brent Leatherwood and others are taking, you know, look at what the ERLC is doing. You know, we're calling for the ban on pornography. Well, praise God. Dusty Deaver's been doing that for over a year since he's been senator in Oklahoma, and he didn't get any help.
Why is it 2025 and we're finally doing that?
Because there's the convention's coming up, and last year, about 40% of the messengers off on a whim voted to defund the ERLC. Mm. And so now then, you know, they got pastors going in D.C.
Whose whim?
That's mine, I guess. Yeah, you know, I'm literally walking past a microphone. I had no plan to do that, but just was grieved. I just listened. We had an event that Megan Basham spoke at, you know, and she was just talking about her book, which had not come out yet, but I'd read the manuscript of Shepherds for Sale. And she's talking about the ERLC a lot in that event. And so I'm walking back into the hall and just, I'm grieved. Mm. And there's a mic. And I thought, you know, we got a provision in the Constitution bylaws of the SBC. It's article number 25 in the bylaws that's for the abolishment of entities. And so I just read that bylaw and said, I would like to make a motion to abolish the ERLC. And, you know, I wasn't premeditated. I think it was right. And about 40%. Of the messengers voted for it without anybody announcing it, proposing it beforehand. So because of that, they should have awakened long before. But I've been told by trustees who in the meeting immediately after that SBC, it was like, no big deal. All things, all systems go. Everything's normal. And now then, the last several weeks, we're getting all these photo ops in D.C. of pastors meeting with legislators talking about this, that, and the other. And you know, maybe there's some good being done. I don't know. But the ERLC could be a real force for good. It can't be a force for good, I'm convinced, with Brent Leatherwood leading it. I think he has committed too many mistakes to be rehabilitated as the leader of the ERLC. Are you looking for healthy bath and body products that are made by a family who unashamedly fears the Lord and seeks to build the kingdom? Well, Miller's Grove Soap makes handcrafted soaps and balms for the whole family. They only use quality oils and butters and grass-fed beef tallow, essential oils, and other good gifts from God's good creation in their luxurious bath products. So stop using harmful products from godless corporations and be a good steward of the body that God has given you. Visit themillersgrove.com today and see their spectacular lineup of soap and other products. That's millersgrove.com. Listeners to The Sword and Trial can use code FOUNDERS at checkout for a 10% discount on your first purchase. Remember, life is short, fear God, build His kingdom, and use the good soap, which is Miller's Grove soap.
I'm excited to introduce to you our newest children's resource. It's the 1689 in Rhyme, Old Truth for Young Hearts by our very own Carrie Regnier. Children can understand more than we often think that they can, and that's why it's important to teach them early and often the basic truths of the faith. Carrie has produced a wonderful tool to help parents and grandparents to do just that. His rhymes, or raps if you prefer, are great for both young and old to internalize, memorize, and meditate on the truths of our great Baptist confession. He has helpfully summarized each chapter, maintaining the rich theology in each, yet he has also simplified each chapter in ways that even a 3-year-old can grasp. Plant timeless truths in young minds. Grab your copy of The 1689 and Rhyme today at press.founders.org. Yeah, I think the idea of the ERLC is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I mean, when it comes to, and the Southern Baptist Convention is the real kind of salt of the earth, conservative, Bible-believing Christians in this nation. It's not mm-hmm. to say that there aren't others, but it's the largest sure. group of that category. And there are, what, 13, 14 million of us across the country.
Yeah.
And we ought to have a loud voice. We ought to be able to push our weight around a little bit in this nation when it comes to cultural, social, and political issues. Mm-hmm. And to have an entity that's dedicated to being our voice in Washington, D.C. and in state capitals around the nation, that's great. We need that. The ERLC has failed to be that voice.
Absolutely. I mean, you just look at the Presidential Advisory Council. Praise God, there's some Southern Baptists that are on it, and Southern mm-hmm. Baptists have been able to speak into it. Some good Orthodox Christians are in his cabinet, actually. And if we had good Orthodox leadership and godly conservative leadership in the ERLC, it's like the road's paved
yeah.
for us to be able to have influence and to speak for Christ
yeah.
in these arenas. And we're not trying to turn the government into a church, not that at all. We want the government to do what Christ has ordained the government to do, mm-hmm. which is to act righteously in punishing evil and promoting what's good.
Yeah.
And we should be the ones making that voice. The Brent Leatherwood can't even get a meeting with the White House.
It shouldn't be that way.
No, it shouldn't be
Man,
that way.
Man, it should. I mean, the ERLC should be the first group that a conservative politician calls when they get into office.
I was told by a D.C. insider not long ago that the common retort in D.C. is that the ERLC is not worth giving time to for a meeting. So that none of the decision makers are interested in sitting down with a serious conversation with the ERLC. Now, that was just volunteered to me, mm-hmm. Which is sad.
Yeah. Well, and it's not only the fact that they are kind of useless in D.C. It's the fact that, I mean, from Russell Moore, I mean, just running to the left on just about every issue, from praising Barack Obama to advocating for the building of mosques on the site of the 9/11 attacks. I mean,
gun control,
gun red flag, Second Amendment, anti-Second Amendment laws.
Yep.
You know, that's Brent Leatherwood.
Brent Leatherwood, and Brent Leatherwood led the charge to keep the shooter, that horrible murder at the Nashville school where he had kids in the school, mm-hmm. but he led the charge to keep that manifesto from being released.
Right. Praising Joe Biden and his courage. Joe Biden, one of the most wicked leaders that the United States has ever had,
yeah.
Spiking righteous, godly anti-abortion bills in different states because they dare to hold women accountable for the crime and sin of murder.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah. And you're praising him for stepping down. You know, what a heroic act.
Yeah.
Yeah. Southern Baptists are not stupid. And it's just time for a change.
Yeah, and I think it's illustrative of a larger problem across the SBC, is that we have for so long, I think, in a desire to grow and a desire to have more influence and a desire to stop the bleed, we have run after the secular left and tried to be attractional to the secular mm-hmm. left. Sometimes that has an impact on our worship and being very production-oriented, you know, rock show type worship in our churches. So that's a problem. But other times it takes place in academia and in the political sphere as well, where you run after the left to say, hey, look at us. We're not so radical. We're not so right-wing. We're not so bad. See, mm-hmm. we can praise Barack Obama as a great president, and we can say no one should ever vote for Trump, and we can say that you know, if you don't get the COVID vaccine, if you don't wear a mask, you're not loving your neighbor. We can do all these things. We're just like you right. guys. We just love Jesus.
Right.
I think that's the heart of the problem with what we've seen in the ERLC, but that's spread across so many of the different entities. And because the leadership of the SBC has continually run after the cultural, social, and political left in order to be attractional to them, they've had a disdain on the people that the political, cultural, and social left has disdain for. And
right.
that is the normal Southern Baptist in the pew.
Yeah.
The left hates the Southern Baptist in the pew. And that's bled over, I think, into a lot of our leadership.
Yeah, and that's not just true for the SBC. I mean, we're seeing that in the PCA. We're seeing mm-hmm. that in just the broader evangelical world. And there's a lot of disenfranchised, salt of the earth, members of churches that are just getting to wake up and say, you know what, mm-hmm. enough. We put up with your nonsense, giving you the benefit of the doubt, but we're not following you anymore. Mm-hmm. And I've contended for years that we need a clean sweep of new leaders across the board in the SBC. We need leaders with backbone, men who are willing to stand, who understand the days in which we live, and where they have made mistakes, and we all do, repent, and then get up and lead us in a bold new direction.
Yeah. So the motion will be made to abolish the ERLC.
I'm confident.
I think
the people will beat a path to the microphones mm-hmm. to make this motion.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a dozen people ready to make it. So I don't know who will make it. But then, I mean, let's think about how this then has to play out. So you can make the motion. And how much of a vote does the motion have to pass?
50% plus one.
Okay. Yep. So 50% plus one. And then after that, the ERLC is just abolished?
Nope. It takes 2 years. So it'll be a warning shot fired across the bow, which is what I was hoping for last year. Mm-hmm. It takes 2 years consecutive majority votes to do away with an entity, which is right. So you just can't do it in a moment.
Right.
But if we vote to do that this year, that will certainly wake up the trustees. That, hey, you know, we're always told that the local church's headquarters in the SBC, well, maybe they'll finally get the message. Headquarters is upset.
Mm-hmm.
Headquarters wants your attention.
Yeah.
Headquarters wants a change. And the trustees will do what they ought to do and change the leadership and begin to go back and look at what exactly their mission is and determine we're going to have the kind of leadership to go forward to fulfill the mission in behalf of the churches.
Yeah, and I mean, if it passes in Dallas, that's a 1 year probation.
That's right.
The ERLC is on. And if they don't make radical changes in the next year, I mean, clean sweep of leadership, then that needs to be brought up again for the second time in Orlando in 2026. And the entity needs to be abolished.
Yeah, that's right. And it'll be voted on again. If it passes the first year, it will be voted on again.
Mm-hmm.
The second year is a matter of course, but it could be, it could not pass the second year. And the entity stays. But if they don't make the kind of changes you're suggesting, then it should be abolished.
Yeah. And one of the problems that I think we've seen is there are calls for change. There's calls for leadership in the convention. And then leadership changes. You know, you get a new president. And, you know, I appreciate Clint in a lot of ways. I think he's been generally a good president of the SBC.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get a new leader of an entity, like a Brent Leatherwood or something like that. And so on the face of it, it looks like, okay, we've changed. You got all these problems with Russell Moore. Russell Moore is not even in the SBC anymore. Why do you guys keep bringing up Russell Moore? Because the same exact things that Russell Moore was pushing for, the current leadership is pushing for. So just because you have a new face doesn't mean that you've changed leadership.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I anticipate that as the convention seeks to call for new leadership, whether it's the ERLC or anything else, there's going to be scrambling to get a new guy in place to replace mm-hmm. Brent Leatherwood, who's basically just the same thing as Brent Leatherwood, basically just the same thing as Russell Moore, but maybe he's a little bit better at looking conservative and sounding conservative. And Southern Baptists can't be fooled by that.
Right. That's right. And that's, again, comes down to the trustees. And I think most of our trustees are good people. I really do. That they need to be trained and they need to be awakened to the real concerns of churches. I've talked to trustees in different entities who've told me things are going to be different. You know, we're making some changes. I haven't seen them.
Mm.
You know, if they're being made, in such subtle ways that it's not apparent to a guy like me. And we're past that. The kind of changes we need are significant
mm-hmm.
changes. And I hope that will happen with the ERLC.
Yeah.
I want to invite you to join us for the National Founders Conference, January 22nd through 24th, 2026, here in Southwest Florida. Bodie Balcom, Joel Beakey, along with Dusty Devers and Alex Kochman and David Schrock will be joining me as we address the theme, Make Disciples, God's Mandate from the Home to the Ends of the Earth. We want to explore what God requires of His people as creatures made in His image, as well as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. For more information and to register, you can go to founders.org/conference.
What if our understanding of Christianity and politics is fundamentally flawed? King of Kings, a reform guide to Christian government, is the result of needing to rethink political theology in recent years. In it, Pastor James Baird presents a bold and compelling case for a radical proposition that governments must promote Christianity as the only true religion. Drawing from Scripture, the Reformed Confessions, and the insights of the American founders, this concise but powerful primer offers a clear and urgent call to Christians. It's short enough to read in one sitting. It provides a gateway into a rich tradition that many have forgotten, and a vision for recovering it today. You can order your copy today at press.founders.org. The last big issue then to address at the convention is, you know, a new president is likely not going to be voted on this year. You know, Clinton will probably be reinstated by acclamation, which is, I think, good and proper. Because traditionally, presidents serve for two consecutive one-year terms. But the last issue then is the law amendment, which is a proposed amendment to our Constitution, which requires that churches in friendly cooperation commit to only employing men for any office of pastor as taught by the Scriptures. I don't remember exactly what the wording is.
Yeah, and it got changed by Juan Sanchez, and I forget now exact wording on his change too, but it's basically that. It's a change to, I think it's Article 3 of the Constitution, that it's in the Baptist faith and message anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we had honesty in our churches, this wouldn't be a problem. Mm-hmm. But we got some churches that say, oh, well, you know, we call her pastor, but she's really just a director or whatever. If we just had integrity and honesty, this wouldn't be an issue. But because that's been watered down so much and people say, well, you know, pastor's not an office, it's a function. And so she's shepherding the children or whatever. If we just get that in the Constitution, that will make it more secure, and it will help the credentials committee to do what they ought to do, which they have miserably failed to do in this last year, where churches were brought up that had women pastors on their staff, and the credentials committee said, no, they're okay. Mm-hmm. You know, well, now they won't be able to do that in constitutionally. You know, they're not going to have to even try to interpret the Baptist faith and message. They can just read what the Constitution says. So it's a good amendment. It passed the first year, should have passed last year, but all of the administrative state came out against it. Mm-hmm. All of the well-known, not all, but most of the well-known guys that have been in leadership for the last decade or two.
Many of the former presidents.
Former presidents gathered around the microphones. You know, we don't need this.
That's just so crazy.
So the, you know, conference or council of cardinals have met and told the peons what to do. And it should have passed. It almost did pass. It got the overwhelming majority, like 60-something.
Well,
percent.
In New Orleans it got, because, again, this is one that has to pass
two years in a row.
In New Orleans it got about 80%, right?
Was that the first year?
That was the first year, yeah.
Yeah, it was, yeah, overwhelmingly. And then the second year it got
almost 62%.
Yeah, and it needed 66 plus one or something, yeah, or 66.3 plus one. So we didn't quite get the two-thirds vote that we had to have.
We're so close.
Yeah, we were. And it would have happened. But again, Southern Baptists, by and large, trust their leaders.
Yeah.
And so here are all these leaders, you know, former presidents. Everybody, we don't need this. We don't need this. And folks, oh, okay, maybe we don't need it. Well, this last year, if it's proven anything, it's proven we do need it because the Credentials Committee just absolutely fumbled the ball.
Yeah, and I want to emphasize that, you know, Southern Baptists trust their leaders, and that is a good and a right instinct.
That's
and
right.
Ordinarily and normally— that's what you want to do. I mean, the burden of proof is on distrusting your
That's
leaders.
Right.
I think it's been proven.
Yeah.
I think it's been proven that the leadership of the Southern Baptist Convention, at least over the past decade, has failed.
I agree with you on that. Because we could have had any number of leaders had they just simply gone to a microphone and spoken righteously about an issue, would have saved a lot of headache, heartache, and embarrassment for the convention.
We've seen some of that. You know, some leaders have done that, and I appreciate it when they have. But for the most part, you know, they send their lieutenants to say this or say that because, well, I can't actually speak to this myself because I'm going to receive pushback and blowback and I got things to think about. Man, just lead out in doing what's right.
Yeah.
So now we have to, again, for the third time, bring the law Sanchez amendments to the convention.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been proven over this past year, you know, all the arguments against it. Oh, we don't need it. The Credentials Committee is doing their job, and we don't have anybody in the convention who is employing female pastors. And Kevin Ezell from the North American Mission Board says, if you can find any North American Mission Board church that has a female pastor, I will give you $10,000. And of course, people have dug up all number of churches.
If he doesn't do it, then that's a bigger problem.
Yeah.
Better not to make a vow than make a vow and break it.
Mm-hmm. Our leadership needs to have integrity.
Absolutely.
And if they make a promise like that, they need to follow through with that promise. And if they have, especially when the promise is given to prove that, we are doing the job that the Southern Baptists have commissioned us to do, and we are not going against our confession of faith and the Baptist faith and message. And then it's proven that, no, actually, you're not doing your job, and you're not keeping churches that are part of your organization in line with the Baptist faith and message. Well, then you definitely got to eat those words.
Yeah, that's right. And Juan Sanchez and other guys issued a letter, an open letter to the SBC several months ago, signed by Nate Aiken, H.B. Charles, Jed Coppinger, several other folks, basically saying, this needs to happen. We're going to propose this amendment again, and we want your support of this. And so they're asking that the amendment would deem a church to be in friendly cooperation only if it affirms, appoints, or employs only men as any kind of pastor or elder as qualified by Scripture, and that would be what the Credentials Committee has to now look at rather than anything that they might find some ambiguity in. And so this is going to come as a motion. I think it will pass, and I think it'll pass again in Orlando next year.
Yep. So this is a big year in Dallas. There are several things that we need to make sure the convention is headed in the right direction on. The first is financial transparency, which if that passes, we don't need to go back for a second year on that one.
That's right.
If we vote for financial transparency, well, then that's what in 990 level transparency, then the entities will be required to give that to us just with that one vote. But then Orlando is going to be a big year too, because those are the follow-up votes to the votes that, Lord willing, will pass this year in Dallas in terms of abolishing the ERLC, and then in terms of passing finally the law amendment. That'll be the fourth time that we vote on the law amendment.
Right.
And it's like Willie Rice said, this is not going away.
No way.
You know, if it doesn't pass this year, it's coming up again next year. If it passes this year and doesn't pass in Orlando next year, it's going to come up the following year. It will keep coming up, and we just need to address it.
Absolutely. And next year in Orlando, we will have the opportunity to elect a new president.
That's right.
And man, be awesome if we got a real good, firm conservative in that office who has background and is willing to take stands. That'd be great.
Yeah, I think Clint has been a far sight better than presidents that we have had for
several years.
Yeah, several years. And man, if we can follow that up with a real conservative with a backbone, that could be so good for the SBC.
It could be. So, yeah. And here's a little plug for a book I wrote many years ago. In fact, this is the first book Founders Press ever published, From the Protestant Reformation to the Southern Baptist Convention, What Hath Geneva to Do with Nashville? It gives a little bit of the history of the SBC and our roots before the SBC and as the SBC was formed from those various tributaries, the Charleston tradition, the Sandy Creek tradition. And so this book is available through Founders Press. You can get a copy of it at founders.org.
Yeah, get it, read it before the convention, come to the convention, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Yeah, and the reality is like these are the three big issues that are facing the convention this year, but there are other issues that we need to continue to work on for the health of the convention and for the health of our local churches. And that's why Founders exists. That's why we're a part of the Southern Baptist Convention.
That's right. And come by the Founders booth. Founders Seminary will have a presence there. The Institute of Public Theology, which is going to be a four-year Bible college now with classical Christian education, business, and public theology as the three majors. We're really excited about that. So Vody Balkum will be there. I'll be there. You'll be there. We'll have other guys there as well that'll be happy to talk to you about what all is taking place, what the plans are, and how the Lord is guiding us going forward.
And you will probably be at a couple different events, maybe on different panels and things like that throughout the convention as well. So
maybe
keep a lookout on social media about those things.
Yeah.
So, well, we look forward to seeing you all there, and thank you for joining us for this episode of The Sword and the Trowel. If this is helpful to you, and if you wanted to spread the word about some of the things that we talked about in preparation for the Southern Baptist Convention, you can like and you can subscribe and then share this with other pastors, other friends, church members, particularly those who are in the Southern Baptist Convention, and we will see you next time.